You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. Well, markets making a recovery. Is it just short-lived, or is the danger trade still on? Let's talk to our good friend, the Dutch Master at CarnivoreTrading.com. Dutch, great to have you back on. So, market, what's going on here?
Hi, Carrie. It's good to be back. Yeah, it's we've got some real dicey market conditions. We're still a lot of patterns and a lot of stocks are still in a downtrend. They are kind of bumping up against their 50-day moving averages from underneath. So they're trying to punch through and break out of that downtrend, but they haven't done it yet in a lot of cases. So we're having to be very, very selective and find special situations. For example, maybe a stock that is breaking out above that 50-day that might have held it overnight and is a company that may be being added to an index or something. I mean, so you're really trying to find situations where there's some wind in the sails other than just the market conditions itself.
Right. So let's talk about a stock that people love to hate nowadays, Twitter. Is there a way to play Twitter profitably here?
You know, we haven't analyzed it, to be honest with you. We're not even close to that situation. What we think that, you know, obviously, I think that Elon's going to buy it, but he's negotiating the hell out of the price. So, you know, I think guys who are probably good with options might be able to figure out a way to do it. But we're just steering clear, to be honest.
All right. So he'll probably buy it, but just at a lower price, eh?
I think he's gonna beat him up pretty good. I think he knows he's overpaying. I think the market knows he's overpaying at the print that he's supposedly agreed to a certain extent. He's telling us that there's way too many caveats out there for him to close this deal yet. So I think now it's not a matter of whether he'll buy it. It's a matter of what the pricing is going to be. The board obviously wants out of this thing. I mean, it's amazing how fast they've agreed to be purchased. And I think part of it is they know they're kind of a garbage company that needs to be fixed. So
they need adults in charge, huh?
They need some adults in charge, and you know, he's got some ideas for this that are pretty brilliant that we've heard about through the scuttlebutt, and turning this thing into a platform along the lines that he's got in mind could be pretty cool. You know, don't forget that Elon made his money in PayPal. And so when you kind of combine a platform where people can do a lot of different things other than just chat 136 digits or something, you know, he's buying millions of accounts that he can offer things to people with. And I think that's pretty attractive to a guy like that.
Yeah, I see it. He's going to just emulate all the other platforms and come up with his own. So you'll have a Twitter Tube, you'll have Twitter Search, and you'll have Twitter Book. And
yep.
And so it'll all be on one platform, unlike the existing ones here. And the Twitter Tube and the Twitter Search are going to be the biggest ones by far.
Right, right, right.
It just makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think, you know, he's not doing this without swinging for the fences, right?
Yeah.
So
obviously,
that guy plays big ball, not small ball. So,
and he thinks big, and he's not afraid to take risks. And I mean, I guess at this point, he doesn't have to bet the farm like he did with Tesla and SpaceX. as he said
right.
many times, at any time those companies could have gone bankrupt till they succeeded, right?
Right.
So your posture now, are you defensive or are you you going to play the rally?
Well, I can tell you the numbers and that'll tell you the story. The numbers are, you know, we've got about, let's see here, 60% of our capital is defensive in inverse ETFs. So 60% is playing the short side of the overall market.
Mm-hmm. What's the other 40? You're not playing long on the other 40, are you?
Well, that 60% that is short is actually divided up equally into three areas. One is a short bond. Okay. So it's not a short stock market. Mm-hmm. It's that we think rates will continue to go up. The other one is a volatility, ETF. So that would be, you know, if we feel like there may be some sort of an event coming that will spike volatility, and if that happens, then we'll make money there. But that's not a short market thing. Although
arguably,
technically it's not a short market, it's technically a long volatility play.
Yeah, volatility really is a function of fear index, right? So it really is kind of going short, but you're going You're going long while going short.
Yes, because it's an inverse. And then the other long that I'm going short with is the just the standard SPXU, which is the S&P 500 inverse ETF. So that's the other third of that group of 60%. So if that makes sense, we've got 60% divided into those three things. A short bond, a long VIX, and a short S&P 500. 20%. Oh yeah, 20% of the portfolio is in straight cash. And then we have three long positions. Two of them are in the EV space because, frankly, the electric vehicle space is showing us a lot of vibration right now. It's got some mojo, for lack of a better word. The stocks there have been beaten to hell. Some of them have been beaten down so much that it kind of falls into what our resident genius Trader Z likes to say, which is if it's down 90% from its high, but they have cash on the balance sheet and they're not going bankrupt, then it could be a real nice play off the bottom. You can make a lot of money off the bottom in stocks like that. So we've got two EVs in that space. One of them is Workhorse at about $2.90. And the other one is Mullen Technology, MULN, and that one is trading at about $1.60. We picked it up at $1.40 a couple days ago, and it's moving the right way. That one's being added to the Russell 2000. They also just announced yesterday that they've got the best battery in the market right now. They just surpassed whoever was the best before.
Can't keep track of this stuff, honestly. Like this battery.
Yeah. So the battery technology we understand is going to switch hands. There's going to be a series of announcements about mine's better than yours over time, but theirs is the one for the day today. So that was kind of a lucky stroke.
The flavor of the month. You know, it's amazing. There was nothing as mundane and boring as batteries for my entire life up until we started getting into EVs. You had lead acid batteries for cars. You had alkaline batteries for, you know, little miscellaneous
devices.
And then you had lithium ion for computers and phones. And that was it.
Right.
Now there is a battery technology race taking place across the globe that is shocking because, like I said, the last major innovation in batteries was when Edison came up with the alkaline battery like 80 years ago. Right. You know, and nobody cared less about the damn things since then. But now everything has changed. And Hey, have you heard about the diamond nuclear battery? You know, it's a thing will like last forever, basically last forever. Charge one charge and that's it. Because it kind of works on spent nuclear fuel, but it's packetized. Cool. Yeah, there's so many coming out, can't keep track, but that's just as an aside. Otherwise, the broader market, it's strong.
Yeah, so we've got 30% to finish off the portfolio breakdown. 30% is really in long stocks and, you know, three different long stocks. And so two of them are EVs. So you know, 20% cash, 30% long, and, you know, 50-60% in the short world.
And I'd argue that your cash is actually a short. You're actually shorting because you can't find anything to put your money in. Do you use leveraged ETFs at all? How does that work?
I use 3X. The SPXU is a levered ETF, 3X leverage. The volatility ETF, UVXY, is a 3X. The bond is not leveraged. We're not leveraged on the bond one at all. But yeah, I like the leverage that way. You know, I'm not deploying as much capital and I get a pretty big, you know, if I'm right,
big bang,
I get a big run. Yeah.
Hey, yep. So what about looking at the market, do you think the Fed is going to pivot at some point?
Yes.
And if you do, when? When is really the issue? I think somewhat sane people can agree on this topic that you can't just shut off the flow of printing money, because then what's going to finance the world and the government for that matter, right?
Yeah. So we think that they're going to, you know, we listened very carefully to Powell last time and literally, you know, went over his statements and picked out the most important stuff. And the bottom line is they're going to hit this another 75 bips because they're not going to have the back-to-back CPI numbers that they want to have to stop raising rates. We think there's going to be a very hot CPI print again at the end of this month. Might be 875, 850 to 9%, somewhere in there. So it's going to be a hot print, but that's looking back 30 days. The next print that comes is going to show something pretty shocking, and that is that the damage they've done has stopped everything cold in its tracks. And rather than do another 75 at that point, they're probably going to have, you know, trouble justifying doing even 50. Because that number is going to show that everybody stopped spending. They crashed the market, which they know they crashed the stock market, the bond market, the emerging debt market, and the currency markets. And this next 75 that they're going to pound on us is going to basically finish off the real estate market.
The stupidity. Yeah. Well, what else can they do, really? They have to pretend to fight inflation to save the dollar, right?
Right. And the joke about this is that, you know, in fact, we actually sent a thing out to all the carnivore trading family yesterday. It was an old video of Milton Friedman back in the day talking about inflation.
I know that and one. I know that quote by heart.
Isn't that great?
I
mean, the guy.
Inflation is always first and foremost a monetary phenomena. In other words, it comes from printing.
He basically boiled it down for all of us so simply and beautifully and said, it cannot be the result of anything other than government policy because they're the only ones with the printing presses.
Yeah, Bill, that was pre-Bitcoin, pre-cleptocurrency. Obviously.
Right.
That's the one thing. The only thing I can say really about Bitcoin, put aside whether it's whatever it is that they ain't making any more of it. It's like basically oceanfront real estate. Right. There isn't going to be any more of it. And that to me is its greatest contribution. When you have like Ethereum and you just print the stuff up ad nauseum.
Right.
It's no longer a competing currency. It's a complementary currency, complementary to the U.S. dollar. That's why Bitcoin is a big threat. But if they want to shut it down, I've always theorized that they can. I don't know of any other currency that's gotten the acceptance, crypto, I should say, it's not a currency, crypto asset, that's gotten the acceptance of Bitcoin that that there's a fixed cap on the number that can be produced. There are others, but nobody's really talking about them.
Don't just survive, thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Goldterra Resource Corp. is a gold exploration company that has assembled a highly prospective district-scale land position on the doorstep of the city of Yellowknife in Canada's Northwest Territories. Goldterra is currently focused on expanding and delineating gold resources at the company's Yellowknife City Gold Project, with a goal of discovering over 5 million ounces. With ready access to infrastructure and multiple high-grade gold discoveries, Goldterra is on track to re-establishing Yellowknife as one of the premier gold mining districts in Canada. Goldterra trades as YGT in Toronto and YGTFF on the OTC. For more information, go to goldterracorp.com. That's goldterracorp.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
You know, look, we trade stocks. We don't trade currencies. And really, we categorize crypto as a currency. But we do have opinions on it from time to time. And my most recent opinion is that the governments hate it, okay? They just hate it because they can't control it.
Yeah.
They've done a pretty good job of trying to control it from a standpoint of making the platforms report what you're doing so that they can tax you on it.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is that I think my prediction, which might be crazy, is, you know, they're going to outlaw this stuff. And they're going to say, look how it destroyed all this wealth. Look how you can't count on these platforms to be legit. They've frozen your money and they're all bad, bad, bad. Yes. They're very bad, bad, bad. So we're going to shut them all down because they're bad for you. And we know better how you should live your life and what you should invest in. And what we're going to offer you is this wonderful thing called the U.S. Digital Freedom Coin.
Fedcoin.
And
right.
you can run around with the Freedom Digital Coin that's backed by the U.S. government. And that one you can use. And that's the only one that's sort of legal. Well, they can control it. It goes right down the path of track and trace. They can find out how much you have, mm-hmm. what you're spending it on, all the rest of that stuff that young people aren't worried about because they don't care about their privacy. But old guys like me say, I ain't touching that because I don't want them knowing what I'm doing.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's really what it's about. I'm trying to remember the joke that Winston Churchill made about the size of his member, but supposedly he was at the bathroom and using the bathroom and, you know, his political opponent mentioned, you know, what's your problem today? You're very grouchy. And he said, this is labor. This is government. Anytime you see something that works, that's efficient and successful, you know, you basically have to tax it to death, something to that effect.
Yeah.
So that's government. They're going to figure out a way to like bury this thing. And they, you know, all they have to do is shut down all the nodes. And that's the end of Bitcoin. There's not that many of them. And and then it's going to really hurt the natural gas market because all this nat gas that's stranded that they can't use, they're using to crypto mine now. It's just like an insane world we're living in here. Touch. It's totally freaking insane.
I mean, somebody, I think it was you actually asked me last time I was on, what do you think if they're going to regulate cryptocurrency, you know, what do you think they're going to do? And I said, I think they're going to probably screw it up.
Yeah, well, we know that.
they're going to take something beautiful and screw it up.
Yeah, well, that's what government does. That's why it's always supposed to be limited and, you know, kept out of the hands of children and, you know, don't do this at home. Yeah. Well, all right. So bear market, how long does it last? Does it last until the pivot?
So let me tell you what, our outlook is. Trader Z and I have had a lot of talks about this, and we are entering an inflationary, stagflationary type of environment probably for the next 5 to 10 years. I mean, it's hard to predict anything out beyond a year these days, but if we look out 3 to 5 years, what we would say is that if you don't learn how to trade both sides of the market up and down in a range, then, and if you just put your money to work in an S&P 500 index fund, you're going to wake up 5 or 10 years from now. It will not have gone up in value $1, and you will have seen half of the purchasing power go away because inflation is going to run 4 to 7% this whole time. We are not going to get back to 2% inflation. We're running 4 to 7%, and we're going to run pretty hot for a while. And that's just the way life is. And everything's going to cost more pretty much forever is our role, Harry. I mean, it's just, yes, some commodities are going to come down in price, okay? Demand is already being shown to be pulled back on certain things, okay? In fact, everything that a home builder uses to build a home as a commodity is pulling back in value because those guys are done. They're done building. It's over. The home building business is done. And it may be done for the next 3 to 5 years. Now, we were short the home building sector 2 or 3 months ago. We were early. We didn't stay with it. It just crashed and burned over the last couple of weeks. So we were correct, but we didn't stay short long enough to benefit from it. And typical of real estate and the home builders, it always takes longer for that market to adjust its price because people just don't let go of the asset if they don't get the price they want. And then eventually over a year or 2 years, they're like, shit, my house has been on the market for 2 years. I got to unload it, you know? Mm-hmm. So eventually they capitulate, but that market takes a while to come around and reflect sort of the true pricing that's gone on. Other markets have already adjusted. We've already seen a crash in technology. The first place that we would go to get long is probably in that space. Some of the big SaaS companies, you know, ServiceNow and Atlassian, which is Symbol Team, and MDB, and some of the Okta and Coop and all these guys. These are huge multi-billion-dollar market cap, monstrous money-making beasts that nobody even knows about. Everyone wants to talk about Tesla and Apple, and we could care less. Yeah, I would much rather be in, you know, ServiceNow or Atlassian, which nobody knows what those companies are, but they're billions of dollars in revenue. They're embedded into government systems. They're SaaS-oriented. Their margins are sick. Their growth is sick. They have worldwide markets. I mean, these are the new up and coming Adobes of the world and stuff like that. And by the way, we just noticed that, I guess, the chairman of our CEO of DocuSign resigned. Trader Z was asking me, you know, gee, that's kind of a big deal. And I said, well, look, you know, if you go to work for a DocuSign as a CEO, that's kind of like going to work for as the number four hitter for the New York Yankees. And if you watch that stock hit pulled back 50-60%, you get fired. That's just the way that goes.
Yeah, it's like Japan. When the corporation blows up, the CEO resigns, whether it's his fault or not.
That's right. That's right. So DocuSign, Adobe, some of these, at some point when they come from $700 a share to $100 a share or whatever, you know, we've gotten rid of the pandemic mountain. I call it the pandemic mountain because that's what the chart looks like. It looks like there's this big mountain chart. And so that's been completely eliminated for most of the pandemic favorites. The DocuSigns and the Zooms and all those. I mean, Zoom's trading at a 16 PE, but that's because they're losing like 3 million people a day or some crazy number from Netflix. So I love it when people say, wow, how can you not buy Zoom because it's a 16 PE? I say the same reason I didn't buy Facebook at a 20 PE is because their business is eroding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so... So it's interesting. So those companies you're talking about, you say they're making billions and embedded, so they're like guaranteed that they don't go down.
So I'll give you a great example. So here's a company called Atlassian. It's an Australian company. The symbol is TEAM, team. So here's a company that nobody knows even how to pronounce. They've probably never heard of it. But every single local, state, federal government agency, department, slowly but surely, is converting all of their sort of computer communication software to what these guys have. And so if you, during a pandemic, the only way to contact, say, the Superior Court in Orange County was through email. Well, that email has to be secure, has to be private, right, but it has to also be, you know, embedded forever in life that show that, you know, people did the right thing at the right time and all that kind of stuff. That's their software. You're communicating across their platform. Now, once you get, you know, Orange County, California, to buy that software and put all their courthouses and all their police departments and fire departments, everybody on that communication platform, they don't leave. Mm-hmm. That's a 20, 30 year contract that's going to be renewed every year. And you don't have to increase your pricing very much. And so you just go around the world signing up government agencies and departments, and you're flying underneath everybody's radar. You're not selling this to individuals. You're not trying to get, a guy like me to buy your software. I'm just a guy who happens to use it when I need to communicate with a government agency now by electronics. So that's the kind of business that can grow 30, 60, 100% a year. That's the kind of business that has 80% margins and billions in revenue, and no one even knows about them.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing company. Yeah. And you had a couple others.
Yep.
Just mention them again, please.
Yeah, so another one would be ServiceNow, and the symbol is NOW. I was just in Las Vegas, and they had taken over the whole town. This company is run by a beast of a guy. You know, deep, deep experience and heavy-duty guy. They basically looked around the world and said, there's all this enterprise software residing on enterprises of all types, and none of it talks to each other. And so the use of your data and everything that you have inside your enterprise is not being, you know, maximized. And so they basically leapfrogged everybody, and they ride on top of all the other enterprise software. And so they become instantly irreplaceable.
Right.
And provide you with a dashboard that tells you everything that's happening within your enterprise at all levels. So here's another company, you know, with billions in market cap, billions in revenue, growing like crazy, huge margins. The relative strength on the stock has been great. We first picked the stock up, I think, at about, I don't know, $100 and something a share. It's $458 a share, and it's just a beast. And it's just, that's another example. There are some other ones in the space that are interesting. MDB, which is Mongo database, the symbol's MDB. There's another one, Okta, OKTA, is another one. That's the symbol. And there's another one called Coupa Software, COUP. That's the symbol for Coupa. So I have a screen here where I just track ServiceNow, Atlassian team. So I have Now, Team, Okta, MDB, and Coupa. And I go, those are my big five. And if I want to know what's going on in SaaS land, those five stocks are going to tell me. And they're the ones that are going to be the next monster beasts that you wake up and go, geez, that thing's as big as Microsoft, or that thing is the next Microsoft. Wow. or the next Adobe.
All right. Well, hey, we got four stocks there, five stocks. Watch them. Yep. Out there, really appreciate you coming on, Dutch, telling us your perspective, because there's a lot of noise out there. Hey, if you got a question for Dutch, you can always shoot me an email, kl@carryletz.com. make sure you go over to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. And in the show notes to this interview, there's a link to carnivoretrading.com. So you can get right over there and start, get your free trial subscription. And while you're there, sign up for a free newsletter. Dutch, always a pleasure, always thought-provoking and insightful. We'll definitely be talking to you again soon.
Thanks, Gary. Good talking to you.
Thanks for listening to Cary Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.